It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Welcome into the Midday Sports Zone. It's Daniel Shirley on this Friday morning. Sorry about that. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Russ Brown is out for today. He is on his way to Louisiana for the big game for the Eagles tomorrow with the Raging Cajuns. Justin Baxley from the Telegraph is sitting in. Justin, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you guys having me in. Looking forward to talking a little Braves, some Falcons, and some other stuff today. I know we got a lot to get to.
Yeah, let's get to the Braves game first, and then we'll get to the college football news from yesterday, which I think was on everybody's mind yesterday as we heard about the Pac-12 and some of the other conference news. So let's talk about the Braves. Not a good game last night for the Braves. As you heard there in the update, they lost to the Marlins, could not get the sweep, and the Marlins come away with the win. And my screen just skipped on me here as I was trying to look for the score. It was 4-2. So not awful for Ian Anderson. He wasn't great, but he was okay. Kept him in the game again. 5 2/3, did give up 7 hits and 3 runs, although the 3 runs were unearned.
Yeah, I mean, they had a season high four errors.
The defense behind him was not good.
You can't have that, especially with a young pitcher. That gets in their head when they start seeing runs cross the plate and they haven't really done anything wrong. That can derail a start. Luckily, it didn't really derail that for him. He still pitched well. And I think that Anderson is still showing that he's got the stuff to be a solid, three option, but they need him to be a two or a one right now. And so, I thought it was a pretty decent game for the Braves outside the errors. I think if those don't happen, you may be looking at a sweep.
They probably won the game, right, and swept the series and are feeling good about themselves. But, they've clinched the playoff spot. They've clinched the division. They're just kind of trying right now to stay in a groove, right, I guess, for the playoffs and not to get sloppy. And they got sloppy last night. 4 errors.
Yeah.
Just terrible. You haven't seen that from this team this year.
No, I think that's the concerning part is you haven't seen – this Braves team go out and make those errors and give up just unnecessary runs. That would be more concerning than anything. Losing to the Marlins is not a big deal, especially when you win the series. And look, for the Marlins, they had a lot more to play for. They're right there in the thick of things to try to make the playoffs. I want to say that win may have moved them into a tie for the wild card, or at least put them right there with.
Well, they're in second place in the East, so.
Right.
And if they would have lost, they would have their lead over the Phillies would have been down to half a game.
Right.
And they've got the Yankees for 3 games or coming up this weekend. So they are a full game ahead of the Phillies. I'm sorry, they would have been tied with the Phillies. They're a full game ahead of the Phillies. They are 29-28 in the National League East. The Braves have a 5-game lead. Obviously, like we said, they've clinched the division. And the Marlins are in pretty good shape. I mean, if you look overall, again, they're a game ahead of the Phillies. In the East, and they are tied with the Giants right now, and the Giants would have the last spot? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, the Marlins and the Giants right now are tied for the last spot.
Right.
So, really, the Marlins, it's really kind of the Phillies and the Marlins are playing for one spot, and then the Phillies, the Marlins, and Giants, and the Brewers – are playing for another spot. So the Marlins really have 2 chances to get in, and they look like they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I think that, again, the win last night is big for them, maybe gets them a little momentum going. And I think for the Braves, it's just make adjustments, figure out what went wrong on the defensive side last night, see what you can do to fix that. Because once you get in the postseason, you can't have that. Like, that just it can't happen.
Right. And the Braves, and the Braves are playing – right now the Braves are – kind of paddling the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers. My goodness, the Padres for the 2nd best record in baseball or right. in the National League. But the Braves would be seated higher because they would be a division champ.
Right, and the big thing is having a little bit of momentum going into the playoffs. But also, especially for Anderson, you've pretty much in that first round, you got to get wins in the first. You got to win the first two games. You do not want it to get to game three because I don't know who you pitch. There's not going to be any off days, if I'm not mistaken. They've got to make sure that Anderson's confidence stays as high as it possibly can. And that's the one concern from last night is will that loss, will the errors, will that rock him a little bit? Hopefully it won't.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, you don't want that to be the case. I mean, and I don't think for fans you want to get to that point, right? I mean, if you're an Atlanta sports fan, you certainly do not want to see it get to that point to have to play a game three in the first round.
Right.
Because you're not going to be very comfortable at all.
No, I mean, you'd probably need the offense to just absolutely explode on whoever that third starter is. And I was talking with Jeremy Timmerman the other night, you know, if it's Braves and Cardinals, you know, Cardinals have got two pretty solid pitchers. You know, you maybe throw Flaherty in game one, hope for a gem against Fried. Then you trot out Wainwright, who's probably been the better pitcher for them this year, against Anderson. Well, then all of a sudden there's a chance that one, if they win game one, it's probably over at that point.
Right.
I don't think the Braves win two in a row, but if they lose any of the first two games, you can't feel good about that third game with anybody pitching on the Braves staff right now.
The only thing I would say about that, and you're right, is you wouldn't feel good about it. The only thing I would say about that is this team has got more guts and fight and grit and, you know, all those things that the analytics people say don't matter. The Braves got it. And I would think that they would be able to maybe shake off some of that stuff and you know, they've overcome all the whole season. I mean, you know, when Soroka got hurt, well, they're done. Well, no, they're not. Here they are. You know, and then Acuna's out for 2 weeks. Well, you know, the Phillies are going to catch them, or the Marlins are going to catch them, or, you know, no, that didn't happen either. So they do have a lot of that stuff that people say doesn't matter. It does seem to matter for this team because they fight and scratch and claw. And look, we'll see if that's enough. It might not be.
Right. Well, I think it starts with Freddie Freeman.
Right.
He's got the attitude, yep. And he's a great leader, and I think that, you know, when you've got a guy and Freddie, I mean, he's obviously hitting the cover off the ball. You know, if I'm not mistaken, he's leading the league in average, or at least close to it, like 343 batting average. You know, he hits for power. I mean, there's not a whole lot Freddie Freeman can't do. And I mean, you look last year, having a healthy Freddie Freeman is the key to this team going far as it possibly can.
No doubt. Well, let's switch over to some of the college football news. We got a lot to get to today. Like we said, we have the Falcons preview. We got to talk about the Falcons. I know we don't want to. We'll talk ACC and Georgia Tech. A little bit of Georgia Tech news this morning with their quote above the line depth chart. And then we'll preview Georgia and Arkansas as well. We do have three guests on the show today. Matthew Gutierrez is going to join us at 11:30. He covers Syracuse for us at The Athletic. Wanted to talk about the Orange and kind of get his thoughts. Torrey McElhaney will join us at 12 to talk about the Falcons. And then we are going to do trivia today. We're going to let you sit in for Russ with trivia with Ben Upton. And you're also going to have to make his NASCAR picks. You can take like...
I feel like I'm rejoining Team Russ.
Well, here's what we want you to do. You take like the guy you think is going to finish last, and you pick him for us.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
So like if you want like the last place guy... in the standings.
I mean, look, since I'm not Michael Jordan, I guess I can, you know, pick like Scottie Pippen today and just give him random guys.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Josh Bilecki, not William Byron, he's pretty good, Timmy Hill, I don't even know who these guys are, James Davison, any of those guys, Dale Jr., if you want Dale Jr., you can take Dale Jr.
I like Dale Jr.
So you'll make Russ's NASCAR picks.
Rusty Wallace available?
Rusty Wallace is my favorite of all time. So, but I do want to say before we get to the college football stuff, this hour of the show is brought to you by Classic Firearms at 3780 Northside Drive in Macon. Check them out at classicfirearmsga.com for all your firearms needs. Let's talk about the college football stuff. Pac-12 is going to play now. Mountain West is going to play now. So I guess all the FBS conferences are scheduled to play except for the MAC. We haven't heard from the MAC.
And they were the first ones to drop.
Yeah, and they were the first ones to drop. And they dropped because the Big Ten would drop them from their non-conference, and they didn't want to play those. They didn't want to do without those non-conference games because
right.
those are their big money games. So what did you think of the Pac-12 news yesterday that, hey, we're going to play college football now and kind of jump back in with everybody else?
I think it's big, obviously. I think it's one of those situations where getting more Power 5 teams involved in this fall schedule is big. I think, you know, that avoids the possibility of having this weird, you know, maybe some team. I'd heard some teams may play in the spring. They may have a spring season for this for the pack. And so I think that hopefully that'll avoid that. And, I mean, you know, at least we're getting some college football out of that conference now. And, you know, maybe it avoids the just this feeling of incompleteness when it, surrounding the college football season. I'm wondering if, you know, some of these teams could compete for a national championship.
Yeah, and look, it's great. For me, it's just more college football. I'm glad everybody's back. But if you're doing the victory lap of, hey, see, I told you so, and hey, see, we made it, let's slow that down a little bit. We're just getting started. Yep. Now, if we end the season and you want to be, hey, we made it guy, okay. But I heard somebody this morning say, hey, our side was right. Well, come on, man.
Let's get through the season first.
Right.
And, you know, in talking to some of the coaches at the high school level, even, you know, they've told me that they are excited that we've got high school football. They're excited that we're playing, but they also recognize that it's a day-to-day thing, and they may not have a game on Friday night if one of the kids on one of the two teams pops up with a COVID test. Obviously, it's a little different at the college level. I don't know that it would shut the whole game down if one kid gets it. But, I mean, if it's an outbreak, you may not get, you know, Georgia, Alabama. I mean, you may not get, you know, some of these bigger matchups if an outbreak happens. They may have to postpone it or not play it at all. And so let's get through the season before we start gloating about, you know, being right about there need to be a college football season.
Right. And look, even if we do finish the season, don't be that guy. I mean, just don't be that guy. I mean, it's great that the Pac-12's playing, and they're only going to play 7 games. And should they be included in the playoff? I don't know. Because what happens? I mean, somebody asked Dabo Swinney last week about this with the Big Ten. Well, what if they only play 8 games? And he said, we might not play 8 games. We don't know. Who knows? So why are we even having those discussions right at this point? It's just so stupid.
Well, and I think it's important to say that, like, even though I may not have been on the side of, like, let's go have a college football season right now during this pandemic, it wasn't because I didn't want college football.
Right.
I wanted it. Like, right. I love college. That's my favorite thing to watch in all of sports is college football. And so, I mean, yeah, if you want to gloat and be the right guy, that's fine. But I'm going to enjoy my college football as long as I get it, and I'll be okay with it. But, like, even if we hadn't had a season, I wasn't going to be gloating about it.
Right.
Because I'd be super sad that we didn't
have football.
You didn't
want to be right. Look, right. Hey, here's the thing. I don't think any of us didn't want college football.
Right.
But I think there are a lot of people out there who want to be, see, hey, I told you so, I'm right. I don't want to be, I don't want to have that discussion with that person. I want to have college football, and I want it to be safe.
I didn't want to be right. I didn't right. want to be the That's one exactly that was, right. was exactly right on the money on my take, because then that would mean I wouldn't get to see college football this year. And that's not something that I wanted to have happen. So, I mean, if you're gloating about it, like, gloat about the fact that we're getting college football, not about being right.
And we're just getting started.
And let's get through college football right. first.
We are absolutely just getting started. So, and we're just getting started here on the show, and we got a lot to get to today. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some Falcons. We'll do a lot of college football talk. We'll talk about the trivia. We got trivia. But we've got UGA and SEC games to talk about. We got Georgia Tech game to talk about. And we'll do all that right after this. Welcome back to the Midday Sports Zone here on Sports Talk WXKO. I hope everybody's having a great Friday morning as we get ready for high school football tonight. Justin Baxley sitting in for Russ Brown from the Telegraph. We've got the big Northside Warner Robins game tonight, a couple other big games as well. And Justin will have all that covered for you at Macon.com. Appreciate Justin sitting in. Wanted to talk about the Falcons here as we get ready for the game Saturday or Sunday with the Bears. I don't know where to go with this team. I really don't. And this is going to be a little bit of a shorter segment because we do have Matthew Gutierrez coming up at 11:30 to talk about Syracuse. And maybe that's a good thing because the Falcons are just – I just am flabbergasted with the Falcons and where to go with this team going into to week three of the season. I mean, we're only in week three, and it feels like the season's over.
Right. And, I mean, you know, they open the season with the Seahawks and the Cowboys, and you think, okay – There's a decent chance they're going 0-2. They were not going to be favored in either of those games, but you got to feel like now, like looking back, there's a chance this team could be 2-0. They've played well enough. Matt Ryan specifically has played well enough to have this team sitting at 2-0. You know, he has almost 1,000 yards passing through two games. He's over 700 already,
which is crazy.
Wait, yeah, I mean it's unreal. And with Julio not being 100% either, like he's doing this with Ridley and Russell Gage and Hurst, and he's not doing it with a 100% healthy Julio. You know, Todd Gurley hadn't looked bad. You know, he hasn't looked great, but he hadn't looked bad. He has over 100 yards rushing for the first two games on 35 carries. He's got a touchdown for him. I mean, look, he hadn't done anything to hurt him. But it kind of always seems to go back to coaching. And last week was solely on the coaches, because there's no reason the Cowboys should have won that game.
Oh, no doubt.
They're like, it's just, it's inexcusable really. And, you know, it goes back to last year when they go on that long win streak, even that long win streak probably should not have saved that coaching staff's job. Like, as good as it was to watch them win, all that did for them was make them miss out on Chase Young. All it did was make them miss out on some of the key players at the top of that draft. And not to say that they got a raw end of the deal with who they ended up drafting, but, like, imagine it being Chase Young out there chasing down people now.
Right, right.
Like, he's making an impact right now for the Redskins or the Washington football team. Sorry, I'm going to have to get used to that.
Yeah, watch that. Be careful there.
Yeah. He's out there making an impact already for the football team. And so I think that you've got to realize that, like, they should have saw this coming. Like, they should have known that the coaching staff is what it was. Like, they are who they thought we were type situation. Like, they are just not a very good coaching staff, and you saw it last week against the Cowboys.
Yeah, you watched that game last week, and you go, wait, they lost? And you know, and it's just small stuff. You're up 26-7, and you go for two. Why? In the third, well, I think it was the third quarter. Why? Why do you do that? You obviously don't know the onside kick rule. I don't care what the coaches say. The owner was right. The owner came out and said it's pretty clear that we didn't know the rule. Everything that you watch that, everybody would assume you don't know the rule. And, I mean, that's the big one. But there's small stuff throughout that game where you go, if you do one of these 15 things right, you win the game. And they did every one of them wrong. And a lot of them were coaching, like you said. And I don't, and that's on top of Raheem Morrison in week one saying, I underestimated Russell Wilson. What are you talking about?
Right. Well, and I mean, look, they held Ezekiel Elliott to under 100 yards, which is a feat. Like, let's just throw that out now. Like, holding that guy to under 100 yards is huge for a defense.
Right, right.
Now, look, you gave up three rushing touchdowns to Dak, but and he threw for almost 500 yards. But you held Ezekiel Elliott. You made Dak go out and beat you, which he ended up doing. But a lot of that came in what should have been garbage time. Like, a lot of those stats came in what should have been garbage time, and it wasn't. It turned into not being garbage time because the Falcons decided to let him recover that onside kick. Like, those stats for Dak mean nothing if they lose that game. Like, those 450 yards, they don't mean anything. Like, you as a Falcons fan can look at it and say, oh, well, look, we held Ezekiel Elliott under 100. You didn't let Dak Prescott get going until it was too late for them to win the game. you would be feeling really good right now if you were a Falcons fan, but instead you're sitting 0-2. You've got losses to the Cowboys and the Seahawks, which you probably felt like you probably was going to happen anyway, but now it doesn't feel as good. And look, the road doesn't necessarily get easier. You know, the Bears might be a win for the Falcons, but you still got to play the Packers. You're probably getting the Panthers without Christian McCaffrey, so that could be a win. The Vikings have been shaky through the first couple games. So, like, their schedule is not super hard, but that like, the Packers game could be, like, they could have been going into that one sitting at, what, 2-1?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe 3-0.
Yeah, right, right.
If you hadn't let Russell Wilson run all over you. I mean, that's a big difference going into that game 2-1 versus, you know, potentially 0-3 or 1-2.
You're right. They may get out of these first four games 2-2, and then you go, okay, you know, well, we're still 2-2, you know, but I don't think that's the case. I think they're going to lose Sunday. I really do.
Right. And I mean, just looking down the schedule, you're going to play the Saints. The Raiders seem to be improved. You play the Saints again. The Buccaneers twice, the Chiefs. I mean, where are you getting your wins if you weren't getting them through these first few weeks? You probably weren't going to get the first couple when you looked at the schedule, but you can't afford to lose those if you're in the position to win it.
Yeah.
You can't afford to give up wins right now when you look at their schedule. There's a soft point in the schedule from like week 5 to like week 8, and then after that it gets hard. Playing division games every week, playing the Raiders, playing the Chiefs. Those are not going to be easy wins.
And you still got to play Drew Brees twice. You still got to play Tom Brady twice. I mean, it's. I mean, I could really see us getting to the point where they don't get to. You know, they were 1-7 last year. They're not going to get to that point this year. Arthur Blank's not going to have enough. He's not going to have that kind of patience with them this year, I don't believe.
Yeah, he can't, because you can't have this yearly thing where you start 1-7, finish 7-9, play yourself out of a top 5 pick, and you just keep letting them do it over and over and over again. Because they've missed out on the last two drafts some really good players by going on those late season
right,
street.
Right.
I mean, franchise changing players that would have made a huge difference, not just in the future, but right now, that they're not going to have because they went on those long win streaks to save Dan Quinn's job.
And if you had a really good coach, I think they've drafted okay. I mean, they've drafted pretty well on the line the last couple of years. You know, I think AJ Terrell is going to be a good player, but they've missed on so many other guys through the years that it's catching up with them. And I mean, it really just feels like this season is already over 2 weeks in. And I know that might be an overreaction to what we saw Sunday, but I can't get over the fact that your players did not know the rules.
Right. Well, and I mean, if you look back at the last two drafts, looking at where they should have been picking versus where they picked, they get Chris Lindstrom in the 2019 draft at 14, but they probably should have been picking up near 8. Could have got Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Or Devin Bush at linebacker. Or even a Jonah Williams, who's a solid offensive lineman over at Alabama. Or one of those Clemson defensive linemen. I mean, they had so many options if they hadn't won out the way they did. And then this year, I mean, they went from a potential top 2 or 3 pick down way down the list. You miss out on guys like Chase Young, Derek Brown, Isaiah Simmons. These are all franchise changers.
Yeah, they could use an Isaiah Simmons for sure. That secondary is an absolute mess right now. They got guys who look like they're not healthy and not going to be ready to get the job done. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Matthew Gutierrez from The Athletic will join us next. We'll talk about the Syracuse Orange. We'll do that right after this. Welcome back to the Midday Sports Zone here on this Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Time to talk some Syracuse Orange football, and to do that, we bring in Matthew Gutierrez from The Athletic, and they face the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets tomorrow at noon. Matthew, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, bud. Appreciate it. This Syracuse team is off to a slow start. What's been the biggest issue so far for them to get them off to the slow start that they're off to?
Sure, yeah. 0-2, first time since 2001 for Syracuse. Part of that is you start the schedule of two road trips to top 25 teams, North Carolina and Pittsburgh, both losses. But really the biggest thing has been a really solid defense for Syracuse. The offensive production has been abysmal. One touchdown in two games, and that one touchdown was thrown by the backup quarterback against Pittsburgh last Saturday. The offensive line has really struggled. They've been banged up a little bit. Nonetheless, haven't given quarterback Tommy DeVito enough time to throw, and he's been indecisive, and his quarterback play hasn't had much pocket awareness, not something head coach Dino Babers has talked about for years. This was his guy, his big-time recruit, four-star quarterback recruit. Those don't come around to upstate New York often, and so far it's been tough to watch for Syracuse fans through 2 weeks.
Matthew, a lot of people have, I mean, there have even been jokes on Twitter about how many times that DeVito's been hit. I mean, he's getting beat up pretty badly, isn't he?
Yeah, he's getting hammered. And look, I mean, no doubt there is some to blame on the running backs and the offensive linemen. There are times when, you know, he's got less than 2 seconds to get rid of the ball before he's getting swarmed by a defensive lineman. You know, you look especially at Pittsburgh and UNC, 7 sacks apiece. Pittsburgh, blitz-heavy, really solid defensive line. You know, if you're any team, if you're Georgia Tech, especially heading into tomorrow, I think that coaching staff probably sees that and will look to apply some pressure to DeVito, because he's proven, you know, even under pressure, he panics, right? I mean, he's throwing the ball away, one silly interception last week that lost a ton of momentum for Syracuse. Their biggest offensive weapon right now, so to speak, is their defense, and looking for, you know, hopefully to make turnovers if you're Syracuse, interception, capitalize on fumbles for field position, because and win the field goal game. That's really what they're going to have to do to win this home opener.
Matthew Gutierrez is joining us here from The Athletic. Their defense has played pretty well, right? Like, I watched all of the UNC game, and that's a close game going into the fourth quarter, and then UNC pulls away. And even last week, Pitt only scored 21 points. So that group has played pretty well, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And actually, we thought it would be reverse. I mean, Dino Babers, you know, is more known as more of an offensive-minded, some better recruits on that side of the ball, some really good athletes over the past couple of years who have gone on to the next level. But defense has been the show so far. They've got a new defensive coordinator in Tony White from Arizona State. So obviously he's got a pretty strong resume, and he comes to Syracuse, brings out the 3-3-5 defense, essentially mostly zone, to stop big passing plays. And it really has, for the most part. The issue has been running. They've struggled a little bit to stop the run, which with a 3-3-5 is certainly one of the major weaknesses. So if they need to tighten that up a little bit. But otherwise, you know, you give that defense a B or an A grade through 2 weeks, because they've been really good. Special teams has been really solid at Syracuse for a few years. And the field position battle, they've always done their job. It's on the offense right now. And a complete mix from the past few years, when it was the Syracuse defense that wasn't getting it done, giving up huge point totals, 40, 50, 60 points a week in ACC play. But this, so far this year, it's been a really strong defense.
What about the coaching changes? And he made a lot of changes to the staff, right, going into this season.
Sure.
How has that impacted the program just, you know, early, two games in so far?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you mentioned Tony White, he's one of the bigger hires, defensive coordinator coming in to replace Brian Ward, who struggled quite a bit over the past couple of years, and trying to get a defense at Syracuse that works, that can help that offense. An offensive coordinator is Sterling Gilbert. He's been around the block a little bit, some past schools, running mostly, you know, mediocre offenses for several years. Some I think scratch their head at that hire, and so far, you know, very little creativity and play calling. A number of, believe it or not, third and long QB draws, that leads to no gain or even a loss. Not a lot of creativity, not a lot of, you know, rollout or just trying to mix it up, because clearly what they've been doing is just not working. The defense has just kept them in games, all that they can ask for. But the two major hires there, Tony White on the defensive side and Sterling Gilbert, offensive coordinator, you know, two different stories, right, with Tony White leading that defense in a really impressive way, right? They didn't have any spring practice, essentially, like a lot of teams. And implementing a whole new defensive formation wasn't easy, whereas the offense is essentially the same as it's been the previous 4 years. And we got a pretty experienced quarterback, elite 11 quarterback, and it's really been a struggle for that offensive side of the ball.
And now the Carrio Dome's got a new look, right? I mean, with a new roof. But no fans, right? No fans. And like Georgia Tech had 10,000, 11,000 fans at their game Saturday. No fans at the Carrio Dome on Saturday, right?
Right, yeah. And first, a new roof, replacing the roof. This is a 40-year-old building. Needed some long overdue upgrades. Air conditioning is being implemented into the dome. A brand new scoreboard will be the biggest thing Georgia Tech fans and fans that are watching the game will see on TV. There's a giant jumbotron in the middle of the field. They haven't had that before. So, you know, replays and images and score and clock will all be a little bit more accessible for people actually in the arena. But yeah, aside from, you know, the staffs and players and some, probably some extra support here and there, no fans at all. That's from New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo. No fans for college professional sporting events. So Buffalo Bills, Syracuse Orange, all across the state, they're not allowed to have fans at this time. It looks like it's going to be at least a few weeks for them to lift that, if they do lift that.
Well, it should be really interesting, and Matthew will have it all covered, the Syracuse angle covered on The Athletic tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. That's Matthew Gutierrez. He does a great job covering The Athletic, or covering the Orange for us at The Athletic. Appreciate him coming on and jumping in and talk about the Syracuse football team as they get ready to host Georgia Tech coming up tomorrow at noon. That game will be on the ACC Regional Network on Fox Sports Southeast, I believe. I'll look that up real quick and see which one of those it's on, because there's two of those channels. But that's a big game for Georgia Tech, man. They've got to. I had somebody tell me today or earlier this week, don't lose this game, because Syracuse just isn't very good. They need Georgia Tech. I know it's early in Jeff Collins' tenure and all that stuff, but this is a game they need to win.
Yeah, because their schedule doesn't look too great after that. They've got a lot of tough games left on their schedule. This is definitely the chance for them to grab a win, grab a little bit of confidence. And you never know what could happen against, you know, Louisville. There's a chance they could go out and maybe shock some people if they get enough confidence gained from going out and beating Syracuse on the road and then returning home and having a chance against, you know, potentially a top 25 team.
And that game will be on Fox Sports South if you're a Georgia Tech fan. It's not on the ACC network. There are other games on that network, but it'll be on Fox Sports South tomorrow at noon. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we will talk some more about the ACC and the Georgia Tech game, and we'll do that right after this. Welcome back to Midday Sports Zone here on this Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Justin Baxley sitting in for Russ Brown. Justin will be covering all of the high school football tonight here in Middle Georgia, and that starts with the Northside and Warner Robins game as we get excited about that annual rivalry game, and we always love that big game here in Middle Georgia, and he'll have all that covered tonight on Macon.com if you want to check that out. Want to talk about some of these ACC games tomorrow as we get ready for this week of the season, this third week of the ACC season. We'll talk about the SEC coming up in the next hour and the Georgia game with their season opener, which it's hard to even believe that we're saying that late in September, the season opener for the Bulldogs as they face Arkansas. The Georgia Tech game, we talked a little bit about that. There's a little bit of news that came out. Jordan Mason is not on the, quote, above-the-line list, which means he's not going to play tomorrow. I don't know how much Georgia Tech you've watched the first couple of weeks, but they've got this kid, Jahmyr Gibbs, this running back. He looks really good. I mean, like, shot out of a cannon good. And I know everybody's really excited about Jeff Sims, the quarterback. But those two kids together, to me, they've got the making for something special with them in the backfield for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I haven't watched a whole lot, but I did see some highlights on Gibbs. That kid's fast, like real fast. He had, what was it, two touchdowns?
Yeah, yeah. Scored two touchdowns. He had had one catch and one touchdown.
Right.
And opened the game with a 75-yard kickoff return.
Right.
Where you just went, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, like for Georgia Tech, it's about getting those type of weapons, those game breakers. Because you know when you're playing against talent like Clemson and. You may never get to a point where you out-talent Clemson, but you may be able to get some game breakers in there that just break off big plays that no team can stop. And so having players like Gibbs in place is huge for them.
Yeah, it really is. And, again, Georgia Tech and Syracuse will kick off tomorrow on Fox Sports South at noon. As Georgia Tech looks for its second win of the season and second win on the road. I mean, for them to go beat Florida State, I know last week didn't go great. They did put up a fight with UCF, but UCF was able to pull away in that game. The other ACC games tomorrow, Pittsburgh versus Louisville, Virginia versus Duke, Boston College steps out of conference and plays Texas State, and then Miami, Florida State, and Virginia Tech, NC State. Miami has impressed me. I'm shocked by how good Miami has looked because I thought, Derek King's a good player, but everybody's overhyping him. He was good at Houston, but he's not as good as everybody's making him out to be. And then they come out the first two games and they look great.
Well, I mean, when you say overhype, I mean, this kid was getting like Heisman considerations at Houston. I mean, this was a kid that like people assumed that he was just going to take the entire college football world by storm last year. There were people picking Houston to finish in the top 25. I mean, and he just didn't fit there, I guess, once they brought in the new regime. And but he has looked pretty good over at Miami and is, at least for right now, is living up to that hype to some degree. I mean, he's not making the mistakes, and I think that's the big thing. We've seen from Miami quarterbacks in the past, some of them have had, the arm talent,
yep,
but they haven't had the mental capabilities to not throw interceptions in key moments. And look, he's a weapon, not just throwing the football. He can run the ball too.
Right. He did that the first game. And it was weird. The first game he ran it like crazy. And then this past week he threw it like crazy. So,
yeah. And I mean, I think it's going to depend on, obviously the level of opponent. But they're probably going to be sitting 3-0 heading into that Clemson game. I don't see Florida State beating them unless it's just a massive upset. But when have we seen Miami Clemson, two undefeated teams match up in a long time?
That could be a great game, early, for the ACC. What about Florida State? I mean, what a mess they are. And I know they haven't played since the Georgia Tech game, and now their coach is not going to be there. Norvell's not going to be there on the sideline because he's tested positive for the virus. I mean, can they get things turned around? I don't know that they can.
Honestly, Daniel, I don't see a lot of positives so far for this team. They can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. They can't really play defense. Those are all pretty important things when it comes to playing football. I know that's a big take, but I mean, they don't do really anything well so far.
Right.
They got lucky against Georgia Tech that it wasn't a blowout.
Yeah, it could have been worse because Georgia Tech had three kicks blocked. And, those things count. I mean, Florida State made the plays. I love when people say, well, if they hadn't done this or this or this, that would have been scored. Well, the other team made plays, but you're right. They were pretty lucky against Georgia Tech that they didn't get beat worse they did.
It seems like Florida State has some kid entering the transfer portal like every other day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they've got some things they got to work on down there, and they got to figure it out quick, because they cannot afford to have this coaching hire go as poorly as the last one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And in the other game I'm really looking forward to seeing is Virginia Tech. We haven't seen Virginia Tech this year. Everybody's talked about Virginia Tech is kind of heading, trending in. They're not back to being Virginia Tech, but they're kind of trending in the right direction. I really want to see what they look like against NC State.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a nice little opener for them. Give them a chance to kind of show it. Look, NC State will be at least a little bit of a test. It's not like it's going to be the easiest game right out of the gate for them. But it's also, you know, one they should win. It'll be interesting what they can do this year. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's all about chasing Clemson. And I think everybody knows that. You know, nobody really matches up great with them on paper. It's about who maybe catches them on an off game. You know, North Carolina almost did last year.
Yep.
Somebody's going to have to catch them on an off game to have a chance. And look, teams like Virginia Tech and Miami, it's not out of the question they can be a team that can do it, you know, down the road, whether that be in an ACC championship or whatever it may be. But that's the main thing, is not losing the games like to NC State and to Florida State so that you have that shot against Clemson somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and it'd be really interesting tomorrow. I just can't wait to see this Georgia Tech team and see if they can – see if they can bounce back from the loss last week to UCF and get going back in the right direction. And then they have a bye week after that before a Friday game against Louisville the following week. Let's take a break. We'll come back to the top of the hour. We'll have Tory McElhaney on at noon, and then we'll do trivia at 12:30 right after this.
It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Welcome back to Midday Sports Zone. This is Daniel Shirley here on this Friday afternoon. Coming up, we'll have Tory McElhaney from The Athletic to talk about the Falcons. Before we do that, I do want to let you know this hour of the show is brought to you by the Wild Wing Cafe, shops at River Crossing on Riverside Drive, and at 714 Lake Joy Road down in Warner Robins. We miss doing our shows there. Always have a lot of fun when we're at Wild Wing Cafe. Hopefully we can get back there soon and doing the shows. Looking forward to that. Let's talk some Falcons with Tory. Tory, how are you doing this afternoon?
I can't complain. How are you?
We're doing well. We appreciate you jumping on and talking to us about this team, this 0-2 team. And you and Jeff have a great story that just published on our site about the team. We'll talk about that in a minute. First off, we've got to talk about the onside kick. I mean, it's been driving me crazy all week. Did they know the rule? Did they not know the rule? Why did that happen? Why did they not recover the ball?
So, heard a lot of different things from, you know, coaches and players, but I think the consensus is that, yes, they knew the rule. What we've been told by, like what I said, coaches and players, is that all those five guys around the football, they didn't think that it was going to go 10 yards. And which I get it. Like, if you're looking for like an excuse, if you're looking for a reason why it happened, that's what they're saying, is that they didn't think that it was going to go 10 yards. Well, when it almost gets there, when you're looking at 8 yards and it's still rolling pretty significantly, like, you got to jump on that. You just have to. And so I think when you look at it, and I think to a certain extent they were kind of like, you know, this is unacceptable. We need to be better. We need to be more aggressive. But that's kind of the consensus of what happened. And I don't think that just because they thought that it was going to roll 10 yards that it should have. So, I mean, it was a very unfortunate and almost kind of like a full-on mental bust. One of the worst that I've seen in a while.
Yeah, Tori, do you think it was more of a panic move then? I mean, and just a brain cramp? I mean, because if they know the rule, then, and like you said, they don't think it's going to go 10 yards, so they just kind of panicked, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I kind of thought. And, I mean, I've watched that clip so many times, and it is one of those things that I think, like, because no one made a move, everybody was like, oh, if so-and-so's not, if someone else isn't making a move for the ball, then I shouldn't make a move for the ball. Like, that's kind of what we hear so much about, like, herd immunity these days, and it's kind of funny to think about, like, the metaphor is like, oh, if everybody's doing it, then, like, I won't do it either. And so I kind of, like, was thinking about it in that sense, and how funny it is that maybe because all of them at the same time weren't going for the ball, that it was just kind of like a collective, like, mental bust for all of them, all five of those guys.
Yeah, it's one of the strangest things I can remember seeing on a football field, and I'm screaming at the TV, cover the ball, when it happened. You guys did talk to Ben, and I want to make sure I pronounce his name right. Is it Kotwika, the special teams coach yesterday? What did he have to say about it?
He kind of said the same thing, and he was like, you know, we have to be more aggressive, and we've had conversations about it. We looked at the film. We went over it, and honestly, every single special teams coordinator at every level of the game pulled that clip up on Monday or Tuesday and said, this is what we are not going to do. Like, you know, I'm sure that was something that people everywhere were talking about on Monday and Tuesday in their own film review sessions. But, yeah, essentially what Ben said is he was just kind of like, we do need to be more aggressive. And that he was like, obviously that falls on me. Like, I got to, like, these guys need to be more aggressive. They need to go after it. Even if they think that it wasn't going to go 10 yards, which is what he said that they thought, he was like, we have to jump on that. We have to be aggressive. So very unfortunate way to lose a game, though.
Yeah, and it shouldn't even have gotten to that point, too. And, you know, that's been beaten to death. So where do they go from here? You and Jeff have a really good roundtable that came up, like we said, just published on our site at theathletic.com. About this team, how they've gotten to 0-2, but what's next? How do they shake this off and start winning games?
I feel like they have to win on Sunday. Like, they have to beat the Bears. They just have to, because you look at how angry everyone is at this coaching staff right now, at this team right now, and it's not a good place. It's not really a fun place to be. Like, I said this in what I wrote today, I was like, it's not a fun place to be at the Atlanta Falcons corner of Twitter right now. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty dark. It's a pretty dark corner of social media because people are just angry. And they have a right to be angry because a lot of what's happening really seems unacceptable with the level of talent that the Falcons have on their roster. But the issues really boil down to the defense and the defense giving up 30-plus points for the last two games, and the issues and breakdowns that you're seeing in the secondary. And it's just really, really unfortunate to see what quarterbacks like Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, have been able to do against this Atlanta Falcons defense. And I think that's where it has to get better. They have to stop those explosive plays. They have to be better on third down. They have to stop – I mean, it sounds so simple, but they have to come up with stops in the red zone. Like, all of these things are, I was saying in a podcast this week, I was like, all these things are really simple, like, football things. Like, you try and stop your opponent's offense from scoring points. But, I mean, that's really the basis of it. They're giving up way too much in the offense. Granted, the offense did score 39 points this past weekend, but they left probably, like, 14 points. And I think that's being generous. Like, or maybe not being generous enough, like, they left at least 14 points out there on Sunday that they could have had. Touchdowns, I think they, nothing against Young Wei Koo, but, like, he had 4 field goals, and the Falcons should have, like, if the Falcons scored 2 out of those 4 times, score touchdowns instead of kicking field goals, I mean, that's the difference in the game, too. So it's not just the defense. Like, there does need to be more production from the offense as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really is. It almost sounds silly to say it, but it is that simple. Just do your job. Yeah. I mean, and mm-hmm. you know, so I know it doesn't help that you're facing Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott the first week,
right.
and it can help that you're facing Mitch Trubisky. But it also, Torrey, the whole thing we've talked about kind of on the offseason was they've got to be better in the pass rush. They've got to be better in the pass rush. And they've been better in the pass rush, and they still look awful defensively. What do you think about Matt Ryan and how he's played? Because, I mean, he's looked really, really good. The offensive line has been good. So at least that's really positive.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think that it's funny because if you look at either, A, the offense's production, or if you're just looking at Matt Ryan's stat count over the last, like, two games, like, you wouldn't look at the numbers that he's putting up and be like, oh, yeah, his team is 0-2. But they are. And I think it's really unfortunate if you're Matt Ryan. It's really unfortunate if you're Calvin Ridley because, you know, Calvin Ridley's had a really great two games. And it's really sad when you look at it and you're like, okay, the defense is just letting I don't want to say letting the team down, but to a certain extent, yeah. I mean, you take that first, you see what can happen when the defense is on. I mean, you had Foye Aluakum, who was literally punching the ball out of Dallas's arms in that first quarter on Sunday, and you saw Atlanta go up 20-0. That's what happens when the defense is playing at a high level and at a high clip, but, like, that's not carrying over into an entire game. And because of that, you're seeing that regardless of how different the score looks, how much of a lead the Falcons have, that the defense is just giving up too much to allow them to win.
Torrey, they're banged up, and you mentioned that in the roundtable. Where are they with injuries as far as guys coming back? I mean, we still haven't seen Marlon Davidson play yet. Is he going to play anytime soon? And where are they with maybe getting some of these guys who are banged up healthy?
Yeah, we just got off of a call with Dan Quinn, and I feel like he was probably asked like 12 questions, and 11 of the 12 were about injuries because that's just such a big topic of conversation this week because of how many guys they don't have out there right now. He did rule out Kendall Sheffield again for the third game in a row for him with that foot injury. He ruled out Ricardo Allen as well with his hyperextended elbow. So those are two guys who won't be playing on Sunday. Julio Jones and Dante Fowler are probably going to be game-time decisions because they kind of want to see how they progress today and tomorrow and how they're feeling going into Sunday. So still don't really know about, like, two big names in Julio Jones and Dante Fowler and if we're going to see them on Sunday. I do think there's a good chance that we will see Marlon Davidson on Sunday. You know, we haven't, he was out majority of training camp, haven't been able to see him hardly at all, but now he's had 2 weeks where he's been, yes, he's been limited in practice, but getting in there more, he's had the pads on, he's been out there with Grady Jarrett a lot. So I think it would, especially if you're not looking, if Tack McKinley and Dante Fowler aren't at 100%, you're going to need guys to step up on that defensive line, and I think it could be Marlon Davidson. I think he could be healthy enough to go out there on Sunday.
Torrey, before we let you go, you mentioned Calvin Ridley. Boy, he looks good. I mean, you mentioned specifically in the roundtable, he kind of laid all these things out. These are all the things I want to do this year, and so far, so good.
Yeah, no, and I like what I wrote today. It was kind of like one of the things I really appreciate it when people say, you know, this is the goal that I have for myself. This is the expectation that I have for myself. This is what I want to do. And then they go out and do it. And that's exactly what you're seeing Calvin Ridley do right now through these first two games. And I think it's really impressive to have, it's almost like a breath of fresh air where you have a player, or I mean, in any aspect of life, if someone says they're going to do something, actually going out and doing it is a nice change of pace. But I do think what Calvin Ridley is doing right now is really special. And if you're looking at Julio Jones not being at 100% on Sunday, I mean, Calvin Ridley is the number one guy if Julio isn't. And I mean, I just really like what they have going for him right now. And I think the connection he has with Matt Ryan is really good. And I do see you seeing Calvin Ridley establishing, one, the goals and expectations that he has for himself, and two, meeting those goals and expectations.
Yeah, he's been really good, and I actually picked him as the the breakout player of the year in the NFL this year, because I thought he was just going to have a huge year for this season. And so far, he has not disappointed. So, Torrey, we appreciate the time. Thanks for all the great coverage on the Falcons, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thanks, Torrey. That's Torrey McElhaney with The Athletic. She has just jumped in and done a great job covering the Falcons for us. I just love all the coverage that she's given us with The Athletic and here on the show every week as she jumps in and talks about the Falcons. And if you're a Falcons fan, go to our website right now and check out that story with her and Jeff Schultz. It's a really, really interesting story. Just kind of their thoughts on the Falcons. Why are they 0-2, and can they get things turned around? Let's take a break. We'll come back. Want to preview the SEC games and the Georgia game. Finally, the Bulldogs kick off their season tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock in Arkansas. We'll do that right after this. Welcome back to Midday Sports Zone. It's Daniel Shirley on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Justin Baxley sitting in for Russ Brown. Russ is on his way to Louisiana for the Eagles game with the Raging Cajuns tomorrow afternoon. So hopefully the Eagles can bring back a win from out there on the road and get their season kind of going again. They are off to a pretty good start, but they open their Sun Belt play tomorrow.
Right.
The team that opens its season tomorrow is the Georgia Bulldogs. They are one of seven SEC games tomorrow. All 14 SEC teams are scheduled to open their season tomorrow. Again, it's Friday at noon. Hopefully we get to that point where all the games are being played. But Georgia plays Arkansas, Florida at Ole Miss, or Florida versus Ole Miss, Auburn versus Kentucky, Louisville versus Mississippi State, Alabama versus Missouri, Texas A&M versus Vandy, and South Carolina versus Tennessee is your slate of games tomorrow in the SEC. Justin, Georgia Bulldogs finally start their season. I know you're a Georgia fan. How excited are you for them to finally get their season going?
Beyond excited, because I didn't know we were ever going to get to this point. It's one of those situations where, like I said earlier, I did not think we were going to get a college football season. And that doesn't mean I wasn't rooting for it, because I really wanted it.
Right.
Especially to see Georgia. Look, there's a lot of questions surrounding the team. Specifically at the quarterback position. You don't know what you're going to get there. We assume DeJuan Mathis is probably going to start. But because JT Daniels still has not been cleared for contact as of this morning. Look, I think, you know, Georgia came out of last season probably feeling a little down, just because I think they thought they had the talent. With a third-year quarterback in Jake Fromm, thinking that they could go compete for a national championship. Had to feel pretty bitter the last couple seasons not getting back there after what they did that freshman year with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. But there was, you know, a lot of hype surrounding Jamie Newman. Newman then opts out of the season for whatever reason. You know, he was a potential, you know, that people were touting as a Heisman candidate. Now, whether or not he was or wasn't, we'll never know. You know, we saw what he did at Wake Forest, struggled in big games, but could throw the ball really, really well, but had never really had the weapons and the offensive line and the personnel around him the way that Georgia was supposed to be. But, you know, now it's life after a very short-lived Jamie Newman era at Georgia, and it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, kind of what that offense looks like tomorrow. I expect them to rely heavily on the running game. Samir
right.
White almost has to have a breakout year for Georgia to compete for a potential national championship or, you know, even a conference title. Because, you know, I think Florida's, you know, going to be a tough test on the East. I mean, and that's something that Georgia really hasn't had to contend with during this run for Kirby Smart, is having a force in the East to worry about. You know, it was more, let's just go win the East, and then we'll figure out how to beat that team from the West once we get there. Whether that be an Auburn, an LSU, or an Alabama, which they've played all three now. it's going to be interesting to see what they can do now that Florida kind of feels like they're either on Georgia's level now, or maybe even, and I know as a Georgia fan, this is going to be tough to say, maybe even a little bit favored to be a little bit better this year than what Georgia is. Of course, Georgia's defense is going to be Georgia's defense. And I think you're looking at probably a top five unit in the country. You know, if all things go well in terms of injuries and things of that nature. So I think it'll be interesting to see what Georgia can do on offense to kind of supplement what they do on defense.
Georgia's defense is really good. So there's no doubt about that. And they can be conservative and win games. They can. Especially with a first time starter, at quarterback. I know he was with the program last year and he redshirted, so that helps. He's not a true freshman. But he has he'll start his first college game tomorrow. He's a great story. I mean, coming off the brain issue and having a cyst on your brain. I mean, just think about that. And he's able to overcome that and get back to doing this. It's a great story. And you wish him, you want him to have success and you want him to do well. I picked Florida going into the summer before they got Jamie Newman. I picked them when they got Jamie Newman because I just felt like there's just too much new on this team to just say, hey, snap your fingers, we're going to win the East again. But they do have the defense, and it is a really good defense, so we'll see how that plays out. But I'll be shocked if they're not real conservative tomorrow. Just shocked.
Yeah, I think you're going to see Zamir White tote the ball a lot.
Yeah, and Cook.
I mean, you almost have to rely on that. And, of course, look, Georgia again brings in some solid running back recruits. I think the Milton kid's there now, if I'm not mistaken.
McIntosh kid is pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
The McIntosh kid. So, I mean, they've got the running game is going to be good again this year. I have no doubts about the run game. In fact, it may even be improved. I know losing Swift is huge, but Swift didn't look like Swift for much of last year. He dealt with some nagging injuries. You know, just it felt conservative with Swift a lot. It felt like they didn't get everything out of Swift they could have. And that's not on, I don't know that that was on DeAndre Swift, but I think it was on the offensive coordinator for not drawing up plays to get the ball in his hands, you know, 25 to 30 times a game.
And the line wasn't great either last year.
Right. It struggled. It wasn't as good as what we thought it was going to be.
Which is weird considering that they had all those guys get drafted.
Right. And so I think that it'll be interesting kind of what they do. Sam Pittman not being there, he's going to be on the other side of the ball tomorrow. You know, it's a transition year for Georgia. I think that tempering expectations is going to be key, especially when it comes to like I said, I think Florida is going to have a really good shot to win the East. A lot of that could come down to what is Kyle Trask? Is he, you know, the best quarterback in the SEC right now? Not the most talented, but the best in terms of, you know, because I think the kid over at Alabama is probably the most talented. But Trask might be the best quarterback in the SEC to start the season. And if he continues to grow in that position, or if they decide to go to Emory Jones, I mean, that is an option, because I know a lot of Florida fans have been clamoring to see Emory for the last couple years and see what he can do at that position.
Yeah, and Bryce Young may not play. I mean, he'll probably right. play some, but he might not start. So, so we'll see how it plays out. Again, the Georgia game is really interesting to me. My friend Randy, I do his show in Alabama, and every week he said, hey, which Georgia quarterback's gonna win the Heisman this week? You know, just kind of trolling Georgia fans a little bit, because there was the Jamie Newman is the greatest thing ever, and then, oh, he wasn't even gonna win the job, and you know, now, you know, so we don't know who's what, and we don't know what's gonna happen with JT Daniels, if he's even gonna be healthy.
Look, I mean, if you go on looking at the Twitter, at least the Twitterverse, Malik Heron, who plays for the team, defensive lineman that used to play at Mary Persons, he's high on this Mathis kid.
Right.
A lot of the defense is high on the Mathis kid, and this was with Newman when he was there. They were touting Mathis as the real deal.
That tells you a lot about the guys that he goes up against in practice every day.
Right, and it makes you wonder, at least from the outside looking in, as if they had a lot of respect for Mathis. Even over some of those new guys that were coming in, like Newman and Daniels, it seems that way, at least, that they were kind of on board with maybe Mathis being me and the guy all along. Now that's not saying the coaching staff or anybody over there thinks that, but at least on the defensive side of the ball, they have some trust in what Mathis can do after facing him in practice every day.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, to me, that's the storyline that I want to watch tomorrow in all of college football, is the Georgia offense. A, how does Mathis look? And B, how conservative are they? I mean, you know, again, you've got Zamir, you've got Cook, you've got these other running backs. You have supposedly a good offensive line. We said that last year, too.
Well, I think you got a top five receiver.
And you do. You have a great receiver in George Pickens. And you've got a great defense. You don't have to go out and throw the ball over the field to win the game tomorrow.
No, well, I think the thing about Pickens is you can run him on a 10-yard slant, and he can take the ball 80 yards.
No doubt.
I mean, that is the one benefit to having George Pickens as your top wide receiver. And it's about the other guys around him drawing just enough coverage where he's not getting triple teamed every play.
But you also got to be able to get him the ball.
You got to be able to get him
the
ball.
That's the key.
But, you know, if him and Mathis have developed some sort of chemistry, you know, through the last few weeks, maybe Pickens ends up being, you know, maybe he's the Heisman candidate. No, I mean, I think that Pickens to me is a top five receiver in the country. You've got the running back group, maybe a top five group in the country. I'm not saying any individual is a top five running back, but Zamir White has that breakout ability to be a top five running back in the country. If the offensive line is improved and gives Mathis time, that kid can mature into that job real quick, and Georgia could have a very good offense, especially because I think the offensive coordinator is better this year.
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt. I
think Monken is the key to everything, because, like you're saying, they should potentially come out conservative, but also Monken may not want to come out conservative. He may want to go out and prove that, like, this is a brand new era at Georgia, and this is a time for him to kind of seize that opportunity. And I think it's and kind of looking down the schedule, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it looks like the SEC has kind of scheduled it in a way that the top teams are getting a little bit of a cupcake.
They get kind of way to kind of get their feet under them and get into the season. Yeah, so we'll be interested to see again. The Georgia game, and then there's some other interesting games there.
I think that Auburn-Kentucky
The Auburn-Kentucky game is really interesting. Tennessee-South Carolina is interesting.
I think LSU-Mississippi State could be really good. I think that's a sneaky game that, like, if Mississippi State could potentially get up early or kind of shell-shock LSU. Because, look, LSU lost a lot of guys that opted out.
Right. They're not the LSU team
that
played Clemson in New Orleans.
Right. They've lost Joe Burrow. They lost Clyde. Jamar opted out, right?
Chase. Yes.
They lost one of their best defensive linemen to opting out. And then Justin Jefferson's gone from last year.
That offensive line, most of that offensive line's gone. Burrow's gone.
Right. I mean, it's not the same LSU team, and Mississippi State's going to have some things to prove this year. So I think that could be a game to watch as a potential upset. I won't go as far as picking Mississippi State, but I think it could be a better game than what it looks like on paper.
Well, and it is intriguing to see what Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin bring to the SEC. That's going to be fun.
They're going to be fun to watch.
That's going to be fun to see. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Trivia time with Ben Upton right after this. Welcome back to Midday Sports Zone here on this Friday afternoon. It's our favorite segment of the week. It's Trivia Time with Uncle Ben. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. So we got a little bit of a change this week. We're going to do trivia with me and Justin. We're not going to keep score because Russ isn't here. I mean, we'll keep score between me and Justin, but it will not add to the yearly tally for Russ and me as Russ continues to lose. So
that's fair. That's okay. Kind of like one of those European soccer matches that are friendly.
Yes, we're breaking off and having a friendly. There you go. So what's
you guys are both pretty friendly, so that works out well.
There you go. So what's our category this week?
So I have one pretty big category that I think you guys are really going to like. So I was born in the year 1995.
Okay.
And there has been, there's dogs barking over here now. So there has been 25 Big Four. So out of the Big Four sports, there's been 25 teams that have either been founded or relocated and changed their name. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So expansion teams or teams that have moved?
Yeah. Okay. Expansion teams or teams that have moved.
Since what year?
Since 1995.
Okay.
All right.
And we're going to go and – so we're just going to name the teams.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Houston Texans.
Well, hold on. I get to go first.
Why do you get to go first?
Well, you go first. You're the guest. You go first.
Okay. Houston Texans.
That is correct.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
That is correct.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. The Jacksonville Jaguars?
No.
No?
You lost.
No.
I don't know.
But it's okay. We're going to keep going.
We'll just keep going.
Okay.
25, just alternating.
So... since 1995.
Oh, I know one now.
Teams that have moved or relocated, or team, that's the same thing.
Right.
Expansion teams or relocated. Memphis Grizzlies.
Correct.
Winnipeg Jets.
Yep.
Right?
I believe so. Yeah, they're
yeah, because they were the Thrashers. And
they were the Thrashers
and
went to Winnipeg.
What about the Carolina Hurricanes?
That is correct.
Okay.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
There you go.
There you are.
Now it's 1995. I said Tampa Bay Rays. I can't say them again. Oh, the Panthers started in 95, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay. The Los Angeles Chargers?
That is correct.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Those are easy pickings.
Right. The other team that started the same year as the Panthers, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Correct.
That's right. What I said.
No, you said the Jaguars?
Yeah, that was my first guess.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm stupid.
You told me I was wrong.
It is right.
No, yeah.
Okay, so I had that one right.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Daniel immediately said no, and I didn't even check.
I'm sorry.
See,
did I? No, no, he said. Did you say Jaguars?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay, I'm stupid. That's on me. The host is the guest is right. The host is wrong.
Let's go.
All right,
you rattled my confidence. I was feeling down on myself.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Los Angeles Rams.
That's right.
Correct.
Can we count the St. Louis Rams because they were the Los Angeles Rams and then moved to St. Louis?
Sure.
Okay.
That's correct.
That is correct.
Oh, did that have that's happened twice? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
During the same span.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay.
I mean, we could name the Raiders like 10 times because they keep moving back and forth.
They move a lot. Oh goodness. Now I'm blanking because now we're getting down. Has baseball had any? Now I'm blinking. I'm gonna pass. I'm gonna go back.
I think the Marlins, right? Did the Marlins change? When did the Marlins start?
Oh,
is the Miami Marlins one?
I thought that was 93.
Okay.
For some reason, I thought that was in the earlier 90s.
They changed their name, though. They were the Miami Marlins, and they were the Florida Marlins.
I don't think that counts.
I get half a point for them changing their name. Well, no baseball teams have relocated.
No.
So we know that. Okay, so your turn again. I missed one. The Marlins don't count.
Well, there is one baseball team. They relocated.
Is that right?
And it's pretty obvious. So I'm not going to give it away, but.
Oh, the Nationals. Yeah, the Expos to Nationals.
Yeah, good job. Yeah, I forgot about that. Jeez, and I'm the only one in here old enough to remember that. You would think I would remember that. So,
I got another one. I don't know if it counts.
Go ahead.
I mean, I guess it counts. The Charlotte Hornets, right?
Yes,
right. Because they were
in New Orleans,
right.
And then the New Orleans Pelicans would also work, right?
They would, yeah.
That is correct.
What about the Diamondbacks? Did they start?
No, I believe they were 93 as well.
Okay, they were 93. Okay. Well, I'm struggling. What about
No, you're right. Arizona Diamondbacks is on the list.
Oh, they are? Okay. Okay, good.
I completely forgot I wrote that down.
Okay, good. What about the Raptors?
That is correct.
Yeah,
95.
The Raptors, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if the Warriors technically count because they moved from
San Francisco. They moved across the bay. Does that count? I guess it does.
That one does not count.
What about the
the Las Vegas Golden Knights?
That is correct.
That's right. What about the Ravens? Do they count? Because
that counts.
They were the Browns.
Oh, okay.
And then they became the Ravens. And I think that was in that time period, seems like. How many more are there?
There's quite a few.
Is there really?
I thought we'd really narrowed this thing down.
Wow. Oh, what about the Seattle Kraken? Do they count? They're the new they're the new hockey team. They
count. Oh, no, that does not count. Sorry. I don't even know who that is.
They're the new NHL
team. I was
super
confused.
They don't start playing until next year.
I'm going to be honest with you. I really thought you were talking about an XFL team.
No, that's the new NHL team that starts next year. Now, so are we missing? What are we missing a lot of hockey?
Yep, there's a lot of hockey. Let's see. There's actually one more baseball team. Well, did you guys say the Rays, Tampa Bay Rays?
Yes, I said the Rays.
Okay, I was going to say, okay, so there's no more baseball. There's a few football.
Are there really?
Some hockey.
Okay, so hockey. Think of hockey
teams.
Nashville? Nashville's got to be one.
Yeah, Nashville is one.
What about, did we say
Columbus?
Columbus. Did we say Columbus?
Columbus is correct.
Minnesota.
Yep, that is correct.
Because they had an old team and they moved to Dallas.
Yeah.
And then they got a new team. There's NFL teams, really?
Yeah, I'm not.
There is one.
Who could it be?
Wait, there's two that you have not said.
Who
and,
could
you know,
it
I
be?
Think I might have messed up. I think that one of these teams moved before 95.
Who's that?
The Tennessee Titans?
Maybe. Because they played in the Super Bowl in 97, maybe?
And they were I know they moved from the Oilers,
yeah.
Houston Oilers to Tennessee.
They said we said them.
I'm starting to think that was before 95.
When did they move to Tennessee? I don't remember. Because they were the Oilers, and then they played in Memphis for 1 year.
I will be honest.
Oh, no, they moved.
I researched it like 2 a.m., and it took a lot longer than I thought, and I could have been seeing the wrong numbers.
I think they moved after 95.
I think you're right, yeah.
I think you're right. I think they did move after 95.
And then there's one more football team that's notoriously terrible.
The Browns, right? Because they came back. They were the Browns, and then they left and went to Baltimore, and they didn't have a team for many years. And then they came back as the Browns. Was that?
Yeah.
Do you remember what year that was?
I want to say 97-ish.
Yeah, I think so. So who are we missing now? Is that all of them?
You're missing, let's see.
The Browns came back in 99. I just did a Google search for that. I'm not cheating. Yeah.
You're missing two hockey teams.
Two hockey teams. Wow.
And they're back in like 90, between like 97 and 95.
I mean, I only know like four hockey teams.
The Kings, is it?
No, the Kings been around for a long time.
Okay.
I think we're just going to
Avalanche, maybe?
No, they've been around forever.
No, Colorado is correct.
Is that right?
Look at that.
Yes. 95.
Wow. So who's the other one?
Yeah, I don't know the other one.
Arizona Coyotes.
No, that's right, because they moved from... They moved from Quebec, maybe, I think. Or one of them moved from Quebec to one of those cities. You're right. I thought that was earlier than 95, though. Wow. That's good.
You guys did really well, though, I will say.
Yeah, once I forgot that Jacksonville.
I knew that they were one of the last expansion teams in the NFL.
I told you you were wrong, and then I got all excited to guess that it was Jacksonville.
I just believed you, Daniel. I just straight up believed you.
Then you got real excited. You were like, Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, I said that.
You had already said it. I was not paying attention. So, well, that was great, Ben. I appreciate that. That was awesome. We'll have to. What's going to be next week so I can get a head start?
We might go back to college mascots or maybe something along college football lines.
Yeah, that was good.
Rutsch was going to be out and wanted to change it up a little bit.
Well, that was good. We enjoyed it. We appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend, man.
Yeah. Well, question for Justin real quick. What high school football game in the area should I attend tonight?
Northside Warner Robins, for sure.
Done. I'll be there.
Can you get a ticket?
You know what? I bet they are sold out.
Probably sold out.
I'll scalp one.
If you can't get in there, that Howard Central game up here in Bibb
County. Howard Central will be good.
Yeah, be a good game for you.
Okay, let's do it.
Awesome.
I'll be there.
Awesome. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Guys.
Have a great weekend.
Have a good one, bud.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
That was fun.
It's kind of nostalgic to think about those teams.
Yeah, I mean, they've been around, a whole year longer than I have. Some of them.
And Jeremy says I was cheating on the air. I was not cheating. We had already mentioned the Titans, so I wanted to see what year it was, so I went and looked it up. And Jeremy's calling me a cheater.
That's just Jeremy. It'll be all right.
He's so tall that his head's in the clouds. He
was trying to feed me answers. So I don't know what he's doing over there.
So he's cheating.
He tried, but I didn't see it.
Have you seen Jeremy's profile picture? He has to say him way back so he can't get his so he can get his whole big head in the picture.
He's like a jolly green giant.
He's a good dude.
I love him.
I don't like being called a cheater when I'm not cheating.
Yeah,
when I am cheating,
he tried
to
feed me the Tampa Bay Rays, but luckily I didn't know how to work this computer.
Said Tampa Bay. That was my first one.
Oh, well.
But I did tell you Jacksonville was wrong, and they weren't. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We got one on hold over there. I think I know who it is. Take a break. We'll come back. We've got to make some NASCAR picks. Justin's going to make some NASCAR picks for us.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards...
Pick some guy in Xfinity series.
Okay. Well, I'm leaning towards Dale Jarrett and, some of those guys.
Dale Jarrett, Ned Jarrett. You can take Dale's dad, Ned.
Yeah.
Somebody like that. We'll do that. We okay, Chris, over there? Right after this. Welcome back to Midday Sports Zone. Wrapping up this Friday afternoon and wrapping up the week. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Jeremy is on the line. What's up, man?
Listen, first of all, let's talk about the fact that you knew that I was trying to call and you hung up on me.
No, that was Chris over there. I didn't tell him to hang up on you.
Just throwing the producer under the bus. All right, well, okay. So you didn't cheat by looking things up. Justin says Jacksonville Jaguars right out the gate, and you're like, nope, that's not true. My turn to guess. And I was like,
my brain was not
sure.
I'm not old enough to remember 1995, or I'm too old to remember 1995. You know that.
Daniel, I don't remember 1995 either. I was born like 2 months before it started.
But I was, and you just like, and got Justin's brain all out of whack because he's like, well, if that's not true, I guess. Man, y'all are just, you're cheating. You colluded with Ben to take Justin out, and I don't like it.
Well, Ben had the list. All he had to do was say, no, Daniel, you're wrong.
I think I still won. It's okay.
You won. There's no doubt you won. I'm not denying that. I didn't cheat when I was looking up Tennessee. We said Tennessee, and Ben said he thinks no, and then I said, well, I'm going to look it up, and it was 1997.
Yeah, you didn't cheat then. Now, I did try to send him some names. Once I felt like you guys were cheating him, I tried to help him out.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeremy. Jeremy's got my back. He's the host of the Blindside Rewind with me, our Survivor podcast that I may or may not have fell asleep during last night.
He definitely fell asleep during it last night. So make sure he doesn't fall asleep in this last little segment here because he's been known to do that.
Hello? What? Who is this? Did you just wake me up? Yes, you did. Hey, we got to make some NASCAR picks, so let us run.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. Okay, so NASCAR picks. They are racing in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Justin wants Garrett Smithley. Reed Sorensen and Quinn Hoff.
Now, I'm gonna help Russ out.
Okay.
I'm going to be the Michael Jordan this week.
I'm going to take Brad Keselowski.
Ooh.
I'm throwing a curveball.
You did throw a curveball. Well, I'll take Kevin Harvick. You really threw me there.
All right. I'm going to take you took Harvick. I'm going rogue this week.
Okay.
I'm going to take Joey Logano.
I'm going to take Martin Truex Jr. All right. Just gave me my top two on my big board.
All right. And then I'm going one more rogue. I'm going all Team Penske this week. Ryan Blaney.
Ooh. Oh, okay. I like that. I am gonna throw Russ a curveball. give me Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Yes. Yes, I love it. Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
He shaved his mullet off, and so now it's time for him to go win the race.
Is he back with Danica? Has he got a chance to win?
I don't know. He shaved his mullet, so
okay.
Anything is possible now that he's, you know, chopped off the party in the back.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I love it. Now, you did make two legitimate picks.
I did.
And nobody picked Denny Hamlin, who apparently is the odds-on favorite to win the race. But I wanted to do something a little different this week. So I go Team Penske, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Ryan Blaney. And Russ has Harvick, Truex Jr., and Stenhouse Jr. You'll probably still win. Which
maybe.
is fun.
I mean, in fairness, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. did finish in the top five the last time they were at Vegas. So.
Did he really?
Yeah,
well, that's good.
He finished third. So
that's good. Yeah,
he led like 30 laps. So, you know, he's not a bad pick there. It's just a little bit of a long shot.
So, but that's okay. I mean, it's Russ's fault. He's not going to be here. He thinks so lowly of the show that he just takes off on a Friday and going off to Louisiana and partying with the crew.
Not letting me be Michael Jordan.
And you're that's a pick that Scottie Pippen would have made.
Yeah, I had
Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
I went Jordan to show him what he could have had, I had to go Pippen with what he called me.
And now we need to have some practice picks for the Masters.
Oh goodness! Yeah,
we didn't do that well with the U.S. Open. Okay. Well, Patrick Cantlay hurt us.
Yeah, I think if we'd have gone with Matthew Wolf, who we kept discussing.
We were talking about him, right, and we didn't pick him.
We should have went him over Patrick.
We should have had a chance. We could have had a chance.
Or as Ken called, can't play.
Can't play, that's right. Ken enjoyed that pretty good.
Yeah, that one wasn't a bad one. I couldn't even come back from that one.
And I picked him on the Athletic site, too. We did picks on the Athletic, and I went with Patrick Cantlay because I thought he was going to – because his game, man, he hits it down the middle, and he putts well. And he didn't do any of that last week.
my boy over at the Action Network, Jason Sobel, in his rankings told me not to go with Can't Play, but I didn't want to step on your toes too much.
Hold on, your boy also told you to pick Tommy Fleetwood.
He did.
And Matthew Fitzpatrick. That didn't work.
Yeah, but they still finished better than Cantley for our team.
Well, they didn't make the cut.
That's okay. We didn't need him to make the cut. We needed to stay at plus seven.
Their score didn't get worse those other 2 days, and Cantley's did, no doubt. What do you think? Hey, we got to go pretty quickly here, but what do you think of Bryson DeChambeau winning? Does that bother you that he plays the way he plays and wins? It doesn't bother me. I don't care.
No, I mean,
I'm not a fan of his, but it doesn't bother me.
Not a fan of his. I've seen him a couple times in person now and told him I liked his hat, which I do not, just because that's just me. But anyway, I didn't mind him winning. I was rooting for Wolf to win, or I really wanted to see Rory come from behind on Sunday to make it a fun contest with him and Bryson. But, you know, I think it was one of those situations where he plays the game a little bit differently, and I do think that he's going to lead a little bit of charge of, you know, bulking up to try to, you know, just overpower some of these courses.
Yeah, I really wanted Wolf to win because I like him, and really thought he had a chance to win. So, hey, it's been a great week. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy the college football. UGA Tech tomorrow, the Falcons on Sunday, Georgia Southern tomorrow. We almost have a full slate of college football. It's going to be a great weekend. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Thanks to Justin. Thanks to all our guests. We'll see you Monday morning right here on the Midday Sports Zone.